Blog Talk Radio.
Python Radio, brought to you by Morelia Python Forums, www.moreliapythons.com. What's going on, Owen?
Oh, nothing much. Being ourselves over here, about elbow deep in rat water right now. So if you hear me screaming pain, it's because the Mac has gotten around the rat and now has me. Don't be alarmed. Just keep going with the show.
Oh, come on. So, pain, you're going to scream?
Nah, I'm going to be quiet. Damn you, I walked right into that one. Lost all respect now. It's over. We're coming off that show on Saturday, which was an okay show, but more of the things that drive you crazy at a show, you know. People behind me selling Nile crocodiles to 14-year-olds.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus. I'm not with these people. So, but hey, it was a good show all around. But we shall see.
And this was the Oaks show,
yeah. And then it was a pretty good show, like I said. But now I'm even more excited for this weekend because Chris and I are taking a field trip to Virginia. And we're going to go see Mr. David Means and scoop ourselves up some Barnex. So,
very cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
That
goes.
That's a shame that he's leaving the Barnex or scrub world. But, you know,
yeah.
A lot of cool people have gotten his scrubs, including yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Including you. So it's one of those things, it's a shame to see him go, but you know what, he's leaving for the reasons he gives are good reasons. He wants to spend some more time with his family, and you can never get mad at a guy for wanting to do that. So like I said, it's a shame for him to leave, but maybe, who knows, maybe down the road he'll be back. So.
Yeah, maybe he'll be buying scrubs from you. How about that?
Oh, God, wouldn't that be a kick in the teeth? Like, if I got out of carb pythons and sold them all to you, you're like, oh, this one, yeah, this is a brand new morph. I got it from your babies.
Yeah.
Damn you, Eric. God damn you. So, just be interesting, I guess.
All right. So, tonight we're going to be breaking down the carpet python morphs.
Strictly like an informational show. And unlike our other information shows, which just us gabbing, we actually have a purpose tonight.
Yeah, true. I've been meaning to do a show like this for a while. I think that with a lot of new people coming into the carpet python community, it would help to kind of give a breakdown to what's going on, you know, with the morphs and the subspecies and how that all works. So,
and especially before the breeding season, because a lot of people are going to be start producing a lot of things, and I know if it's you're brand new to carpet python, the stuff can get confusing. And if you're going to want to make a move into a bigger project, like say you have one or two carpet pythons you've just been keeping as a pet, but you want to move into morphs and breeding, you're going to want to know what you're looking for, what you're looking at, and what would get you the biggest bang for your buck. What's the morph you really want to get into versus what one, you know, is better financially. So
Right.
Yeah. Because we're good like that. See, we take care of you.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, after we, there's a couple more things I wanted to hit on, but I guess it's just sort of like a beginning to that. It's just I'm going to give an overall view of, you know, the carpet complex, and that's kind of where, well, at least for me, when I first got into it, that's where it was confusing to me, because I didn't understand, you know, like this jag is a coastal,
right.
And a zebra is a jungle, and if, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just,
so basically,
it's kind of not like ball pythons, because if ball pythons, if you breed a, you know, pastel to a spider, you get a bumblebee, and it's still a ball python. Whereas
exactly.
some
it's not an
in
integrate
the complex,
or something
if
crazy.
You breed together,
yeah.
you're going to have either what some people would call a
dirty Frankenstein mutts, yes.
or you're going to have what would, in some cases, where you know, you have like Brettle jags, which Brettles
mm-hmm.
were raised to full species status. You would then have
hybrid.
You would have a hybrid. Yep. So it would
yeah.
be sort of along the lines of Carpandro and like that. So.
Wow, aren't we kooky? So it's so basically for those of you who have your complete carpet python at home, you can follow along, because Eric is just basically going to be reading from certain chapters.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sorry. I apologize. I can't help myself. So, but no, we're helping. This is a public service announcement. God damn it. So.
Yeah, I got a text message at I think it was 4 o'clock in the morning yesterday.
Yes.
And I was on my way to work, and it was our friend Ari Flagel, and he was over. In,
our overseas correspondent.
Yeah, he was. He has some exciting news that was going on where he was at. He was over in Indonesia. And he was getting back. And he's going to come back on the show and give
mm-hmm.
us the rundown of exactly what he stumbled upon there. And me and you already know, but I'll leave
yes,
the listeners. I'll leave the listeners in suspense. So
he's
really going to come.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to come on and talk about that. So
that's awesome.
That's that.
We need more correspondence. I'm liking the ones we have so far. So.
Yeah. And I shipped off two snakes today. It's first time I've actually shipped carpets. I have shipped ball pythons before, but this is the first time that I've officially shipped carpets. So I'm praying, and you know, it's that nervous anticipation of
mm-hmm,
hoping
mm-hmm.
that everything goes well and there's no
issue,
and everything arrives a-okay. But you
yep.
ship your reptiles, and I couldn't. It's super super easy, so I would recommend using that. You know, I can't. You just go on there, you open up an account, you click on it, you get the shipping, you get put it on the box. You know, you set up your snake in the box, and
just go from there.
Yeah. So yeah, that's on www.shipyourreptiles.com. So yeah, check that out. Give them a shout out. I know a lot of people use that. Do you use that at all, Owen? I know you are FedEx
no.
certified yourself. So.
Yeah, I had to start shipping before Ship Your Reptiles was created. So I just became FedEx certified. I have toyed with the idea of doing Shippy Reptiles once or twice, and I also have I also do purchase all my supplies for shipping from Shippy Reptiles, just because they're just that darn good. So I do have experience with them, but no, I don't. I don't ship through them.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else you wanted to hit on?
Yes, I'm staring at my female Carmel, and she just shed, and she's pretty. So somebody should buy her. I'll post pictures when I figure that out or get the time. That's all. I'm sorry. I'm still feeding, so I'm still, like, in the middle of babies jumping at me. So please continue.
That's always fun. Feeding time.
Obviously,
it happens over at your place more than it does at mine.
That's because I like pythons. You like worms. So.
Okay. I guess without further ado, we will jump right into this, and let's break it down for you. For everybody that already knows everything there is to know about carpet pythons,
you can turn off the radio. Yeah.
Just sit back and enjoy and hope that we get it right.
If we don't, do not call.
Yeah.
Okay?
For anybody that is just getting into carpets, sit back and enjoy. All right, so basically you have a complex that's broken up into six subspecies, and you have two diamond pythons, your jungle pythons, your coastal carpet pythons, your inland carpet pythons, your Darwin's carpets, and your Eyrian Jaya's. And then the two separate full species would be the Centralian, also called the Brettles, and the Southwestern, which is Imbricata.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the one thing about that's recent carpet python, and they talk about basically jungles are kind of they're most poorly supported for a subspecies status. There's really no difference between northern jungles and northern coastals, and the same difference holds true for the southern coastals and the southern jungles. And right in the middle of those two is the Black Mountain Corridor, which kind of separates them. And basically, I think Nick touched on this on the show before, but basically the rainforest sort of grows and then it sort of disappears. When the jungle disappears, the rainforest disappears, there's no need for a jungle carpet. So it kind of just evolves back into the coastal. The coastals just sort of,
reabsorb it, yeah.
Yep. So with that being said, I know me and you are probably different on this, Owen. I don't know if
go
you
on.
agree with
I'm
this.
I'm waiting for you.
But when I talk about jungles and coastals, I kind of lump them in as one. I don't see them as any kind of designer type of thing. But I do think of jungles as a more of a locality type of carpet python. So
yeah.
To me, it wouldn't be the end of the world. For those people I should say this too. You have some breeders that are what you call quote unquote pure breeders, which really only breed the subspecies with the morphs of the subspecies. Then you have guys like me, girls like me.
Yeah.
Who sort of mix the subspecies. However, myself personally, I would never mix species. So I would never
There's a difference between mixing subspecies and mixing species. And I'll agree with you when it comes to jungles and coastals. When I first got into it, it was like a cardinal sin to mix jungles and coastals. But then through furthering our knowledge, you find out that they're not that far apart. It really isn't that bad. And I wouldn't really – like, I don't freak out over jungle jags or zebra jags or things like that because they're really – aren't that much of a variation. Now, the second someone makes a zebra brettle, I'm throwing something at their head, and it's something going to be heavy. So it's one of those things where locality isn't really that bad, or subspecies isn't that bad, but species is like a huge no-no. But the other thing is that I wouldn't even go as far as I don't really like mixing Coastal's an INJ.
Correct. Yeah, and part of the problem with that, and I guess this is good that we talk about this at the beginning. It's part of the problem with breeding that is, let's say that you breed a IJ to a JAG, and you're making IJ JAGs. You're going to get JAGs, and you're going to get these SIBs, and the SIBs, they call them SIBs, short for siblings. Basically, the siblings of the JAG. In a nutshell, they're kind of a normal-looking carpet python.
Right.
Could probably, more than likely, pass off for an Erie and Jaya. The problem
right.
is that if it's Erie and Jaya and Coastal, and you sell that and somebody misrepresents that, they're going to go and, say
it's an IJ,
and it's going to mess up the bloodlines and the gene pool. So that's where some of the pure breeders get upset with some of the people that mix some of the different subspecies. Now, my thoughts on that a little bit on the controversial side, I guess you would say, is me personally, and when it comes to the SIBs, especially with mixed ones, I kind of can see value in them if I was breeding them in a certain morph project that's already mixed up. For instance, if I'm breeding my zebra to a caramel, my granite to a caramel, I'm going to make SIBs that are these SIB-looking carpets that are het granite. And caramels that are not pure coastal, which would be coastal and IJ, that are het for granite. I would then keep those because I want the het granite and the caramel het granite to make caramel granites. So to me, that's a valuable animal. But when you have some breeders that when they have SIBs, they might approach it, you have the whole culling issue to where they would cull those to keep the gene pool from getting screwed up or more screwed up
right.
than it already is.
Than it already is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty messed up.
I think with me, just and this is just me personally, I have no problem with people breeding whatever they want to breed their snakes to. It's their prerogative to breed whatever they want to breed. However, for me personally, I think I would not cross, like, there would have to be some merit to what I'm doing. I think because the diamonds, the jungles, the coastals, and the IJs are kind of already mixed within each other. I don't know if I necessarily would mix maybe inlands and into that.
No.
Darwins are kind of mixed into that simply because of the albino. You know,
that's,
so they're thrown in there simply because of that.
Do you think Darwin's would be as popular as they are if the albino hadn't shown up in them?
If you're asking me personally, I love Darwin's.
No, I know personally you love the Darwin's, but I mean, would they be as popular as say the Brettles, the Centrillians? People have them. There's one or two like stripe, but that's it, and whatever the hell Nick's working on. And that's it. But, you know, there's not major projects based around them because I think the only reason they have major projects right now in a lot of collections is that that's where the albino is. So.
I guess the Darwin's really burst onto the scene because of the albino. I'm sure that pushed
right.
it along. But I think
right.
that... I think that they're a cool car. Again, this is my approach too. I mean, to me, I'm the type of guy, I appreciate carpet pythons for what they are, and that's why I say all the time the quote-unquote all-sider type of thing. I really love the subspecies. I can appreciate pure subspecies. I appreciate selective breeding that has been done with some. I think that there has to be more selective breeding with more of these subspecies. I mean, Inlands and Darwins are brand new to the U.S., and nobody has really taken a stab at that. And, you know, David Diamond at, in Tinley Park, he had this he had a Darwin. I can't remember if it was male or female, but, you know, it looked like the PC version, you know, like PCIJ, that hyper type of look. It looked like a PC version of a Darwin, and it really got attention to everybody because it was a really, really awesome-looking Darwin. And I think when you start to breed that consistently, I think people start to really turn their heads and look at, you know. Another one is one of my favorite Darwins, Justin Newlander from Australian Addiction. He has a really, really nice, I want to say it's his male. It's like that pepper on the inside of the saddle. Really, really nice looking Darwin.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's basically how the complex breaks down. You know, again, there's people that breed Jags and Jungles to Chondros, and that's where you got the Jag Chondros.
My chest. Chondros. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And, again, not really my cup of tea, but they are cool to look at. I have to say that.
They are. That's the unfortunate part of them. They're pretty. So...
Yeah, it wouldn't be something that I personally wouldn't be a project that I would be after. So I guess that's basically how the complex breaks down. What we'll do is we'll go through each of the different ones. And if you're following over on our Facebook page as we're talking about each, I'll just be posting up pictures so you can get what we're talking about. So I guess the most famous of all of the carpet morphs is probably the... And basically with the Jag, you have a... It's a codominant morph, and you have a... you breed a Jag to a Jag. Cystics, however, cystics are fatal. It's a fatal...
Right. It's illegal, illegal. And so Jaguar does have a superform. Most of the people ask, whenever they ask about Codom, they always ask if there's a superform. And there's lots of different morphs out there with snakes in general, ball pythons and other animals, that have viable superforms. Jag does not, which there are still people who breed Jag to Jag, and there's still the jury's still out on what will happen with the leucistics if one day a viable one will just pop out. Or not. What I have noticed, and I did some research in college on this kind of stuff, is that the Jaguar gene is just like a gene that happens in horses. And certainly it's paint horses. They're called Overo paint horses. And every time you breed an Overo paint horse to an Overo paint horse, you have a 25% chance of the foal being born all white and dying after a week. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's and they through dissections and various other things, because you can do more to try to save a baby horse than you can do a hatchling snake. They found no way to make the lethal whites, is what they're called, survive. So my personal opinion, Jag the Jag only results in 25% of your clutch potentially being all white dead things. So. Not worth
it. Yeah, I guess I would agree. There are some people that do approach it, they do breed Jag to Jag, and they do get some really, really nice results in the Jag. I do not know if the Jag, does the color intensify with bred Jag to Jag?
From what I've seen is that the color doesn't really intensify. You get cleaner patterns, I think, but you also get cleaner patterns when you cross a tiger in there or when you selectively pick a really good-looking mate for your Jag. There's ways around this.
Right.
I just don't think it's worth it. Also, what I've heard is that the neurological, because Jaguar comes with a neurological disorder, that when Jags get overexcited, overstimulated, overstressed, they lose control of their head and neck and flip it back. And it's the same thing happens with ball pythons, spider ball pythons. They kind of
yep.
wobble. Jags will do the same thing. And from what I heard is that it's worse in certain tiger jags, and it's also worse in babies from a jag-to-jag breeding. Some people will tell you that they've bred jags that don't have any wobble. It's a goddamn lie. Every jag has neuro. It depends on when they express it throughout their lives. I've raised babies to adulthood that have never neuroed, but the second I put that male in with a female, he flips out. So, and then I've also raised babies that wobble all over the place, but when they get into their about a year old, they stop. It kind of just happens. So,
yeah, I think it seems to be brought on more with what I've noticed in my jags is definitely stress brings out the wobble or the
yeah.
neuro.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely stress related. Now, I do have some jags, and I know this used to be the controversy, like you were saying on the site, that I would never say that they do not have a neuro issue. However,
mm-hmm.
I do have some jags that have never shown it.
Right.
There's definitely some that in my collection that are fine. I do notice
mm-hmm.
with the zebra jags, I do notice that. I do notice that a bit, that's somewhat...
To your wobble.
Yeah. Well, it's not so much a wobble as they just don't, you know, they have that cocked head type of look to them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I guess with the Jags, basically, how that started is, and just so what the actual genetic, the gene does is, it reduces the pattern, and it
mm-hmm.
reduces dark pigment. So that's basically what you're going to see when you breed a jag and how that's going to show. I think back in the, I guess in the early day, and maybe you could speak better on this than me,
mm-hmm.
but in the early days, the jag was, I mean, you had a jag and you had these tigers, much what the carpet python world had, at least here in the States, I'll say, at the time.
Right.
So it seemed like what people started to do is that they started to breed the jag to the different subspecies.
Right.
And that's what I call designer jags. Now,
mm-hmm.
With that being said, you take a jungle jag, okay? So we'll take something like Moe's jungle jags. Basically what happens is you're just intensifying the yellow because you're adding that jungle gene in, and you
right.
get this really, really, really bright yellow jag. Whereas the coastal jags, in my experience, don't have that same intensity of yellow.
Well, it's what Jaguar does is it does what any good codominant morph or genetics does. It takes from both parents to make the babies. So when you bred jag with yellow coastals, you got a certain type of yellow. But then you started mixing jungle in there, and jungle yellow is a lot more intense, especially through our selective breeding of the jungles. So once you start getting that yellow in there, you're looking at an entirely different animal. It's the yellow became very intense. Same thing goes with Aryan jag. That's why you get the rust color in their saddles. So through that mixing is what you do. You get those are the first designer carpet pythons. And the thing is that there wasn't really that much with carpet pythons in the beginning. It was Jag was a really big first morph to hit, other than like stripes and other things like that, because they were advertising Tiger as the, you know, finally another codominant morph in carpet python when it first emerged.
Right.
So.
which was not true. But we'll get to that.
Probably Mojo Reptiles. You can go over there and check out any of the jags that Mo has over there, and basically you're going to get a perfect example of what a jungle jag looks like. If you look at I guess our most famous one is Riddler, and you can see what we're talking about. If you look at the picture that I posted up below, you'll see Luke's MBB line coastal jag, and then you'll see Moe's Riddler, and you can see just how intense that yellow is. It looks like the yellow within the saddles is more tipped out, and you just really, really get that wow factor, basically, as far as a jag
goes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so there you go. So, yeah. If you want a jungle jag, that's where you go. No doubt about it. Go see Mo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
Then what happened is they sort of had, I guess we're taking a side note of looking back, basically when carpets first came into the country, people were breeding jungles and diamonds together, and that's a whole nother topic that I'm not going to go into. But what sort of happens is you get these 75% diamond jungles, and you get these 88% diamond jungles, and basically they look like diamond pythons.
Right, without the testy having to freeze it to death in order to breed it. So.
Right. So probably the most famous diamond jungle jag is the Gamma jag. I mean, and I have some Gamma bloodline in my collection, and I can tell you that it is definitely really, you can't beat it. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable the color on these things. I want to say the story with Gamma is, I think it's from Morelia Trophy Club. That's John Battaglia. He's been on the show before. He goes by Sloop over on the forums. And he has a diamond jungle jag. And he's crossed it with jungles. He's crossed it with diamonds, jungle sibs, and gotten different results the intensity of the yellow. But I would say, my experience at a show from this last show that I did, everybody that came up to my table looked at the Gamma jag. The tipping tipping inside the saddles is so clean, but yet it's got that fishnet. It's just an amazing snake. I mean, it really, really is nice. You can't beat it. I don't know. I'm sure you can probably get the same results if you would to breed diamond crosses to jags eventually, selective to bred. You know, that's that. Then, I guess, more into the crazy mixes of jags. You have the IJ jag, probably the most famous of the IJ jags, at least to me. And probably one of the, the one that turned me on. Actually, in the beginning, I kind of thought that... I kind of thought that Bullwinkle was really much better than Jungle Jags. I don't know. It just shows my lack of experience, I guess, but... you know, IJ jags are definitely very cool too. I think they mix well with the jag. You get some nice tones that come through. Bullwinkle is definitely a cool jag. You don't really see, at least in my opinion, you don't really see that many IJ jags anymore. I don't really see people doing that too much. I don't know if it's because of the...
it's weird because you don't get the granite jags, and something you'd figure they could work with.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think, like, if you did, I do have a PC, line IJ jag, and I'm curious to see how it grows up and what it looks like, But now that I'm actually comparing you and I'm looking at them all side by side, I would say the most yellow of the different jag crosses is definitely got to be the jungle jag. I mean, that's...
Yeah, well, it's just, that's just the different yellows. In my opinion, the intensity that we bred into, the intensity for yellow that we bred into jungles from the get-go has just made it that way. I mean, what you're looking at with the jungle carpet is, we already know, is line breeding in order to make them black and yellow animals. They don't resemble any wild type jungles at all. And now you're just adding morph on top of that, and that's just even better.
Right.
So that's how you get, and then you start line breeding with the morph, forget about it. You're looking at massive, you're looking at years and generations of line breeding and selectively bred animals. So, of course, their jags are going to be the ones that have more intense yellow. We bred them that way. Now we're just kind of bringing chaos to the yellow and putting it in a pattern. So.
And now I guess the other one is the Brettles jag, which I got to admit, mm-hmm. I really think are cool looking. I've seen some really cool examples. I think there's a Brettle diamond jag. That's really cool. Also, there's I should post up this pic. Anthony Caponetto is where the IJ Jag Bullwinkle came from, and mm-hmm. then he has the SOB Jag, which is the son of Bullwinkle.
Son of Bullwinkle. I love
which
that.
To me is actually he's intensified the yellow. And I think there's some striping on that animal, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Depends on what he bred it to, but yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, and you got, yeah, exactly. Again, it looks like the reduction of the pattern, just it's constantly reducing the pattern and reducing the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But also a cool snake. And that's from Anthony Caponetto at AC Reptiles. Okay, so... So basically, that's the jags and the different types of crosses that have been done. Then there's also the tiger, which tigers are pretty much my favorite.
I love them.
I've always liked striped animals, and I think just the contrast in color and everything that the tigers had, I really like the way they look. And probably
also they're harder to get, in my opinion. You got to work at it if you want to get some good tigers.
Right. Basically, you're looking
jags
at...
you can just get from breeding a jag to whatever, so...
Right. Basically, you're looking at a polygenic trait.
Mm-hmm.
I'll post up a little graph that I found a long time ago when I was just getting into tiger genetics and stuff. And basically how it works is if you have a striped male, and
mm-hmm.
let's say that there's three genes that have to line up in order to make the tiger gene make a striped carpet python. So basically, the striped male has those three genes. And if you breed it to a female that doesn't have any of those genes, you're basically going to get all banded animals. But the banded animal, those babies, are going to have
mm-hmm.
striping in their blood. So let's say that they have one of those, I guess we'll call it genes, basically, one of those
mm-hmm.
genes that are lined up. So if you then would take that male that has the three genes and breed it to the female that has the one gene and is missing the two others, what you're going to get is you're going to get banded animals and you're going to get maybe a couple striped animals. Now, the more and more you line up those genes, the more and more striped animals you're going to get. So I think back in the early days, they thought that the tiger genetics was a codom. But if I'm not mistaken, Jason Balin from Eastern
mm-hmm.
is basically the go-to guy when it comes to tigers. He worked
yeah.
the original line of tigers, and that's sort of what I'm talking about. But when he had the two original tigers, I believe that they were both striped, which when he
mm-hmm.
would stripe to stripe, he's going to get all striped.
Exactly.
So,
it was Ted Thompson who he sold tigers to. Ted started producing his own tigers, and he grabbed two of the non-striped animals, or he grabbed one of the tigers and said, well, it's Kodam, I'll cross it with this girl. And he started getting non-striped animals. So that's when he was like, what the hell? Kind of Kodam is this where I don't get any tigers? And that's where he started with the, he coined the lesser tigers, which was basically tigers without stripes. They have the genes to make striped animals, but they themselves are not striped. So.
Right. And I think I have, I'm going to post up one of the pics of my original line tiger that I have. It's basically what you're looking at is a striped carpet, and the more and more you breed the carpet, the tiger, the more and more the stripes are going to be on the sides, be up on the top, the back. Let's see if I have a picture of that. Okay, here we go. So this is one of my girls that are from his original line, and pretty much has solid striping all the way down. Then he did a pairing, it was in 2007, where he bred a tiger, his original tiger, to a red female, red male, I don't know which was which, but he bred to a red coastal, and he got this, what he quote-unquote called these red tigers. So if you hear red tigers, that's where this comes from. Basically, they start out, I would say that, I guess they start out like a dark type of red. As they get closer to adulthood, they turn more into, what would you call that color, Owen?
Oh, God. No. My red tigers?
Yeah.
Tiger in the look red. It's off creamish with the red. It's kind of like, it's not really like the red anymore. It's kind of like the Brettles have more red than they do. I don't really know what to call it.
Yeah, it's if you look at the two pictures between, you can see how they're similar, but the original tiger has more of a khaki color, where the red tiger starts out as red, but I guess it turns into like this gray, silvery, yellow type of mix, I guess. The red gene is, well, the, if you want to call it a gene, is something else we'll get into as we go down. Then, of course, there's my favorite. There's the citrus tigers. Now, the citrus tiger story starts back in, I'm not exactly sure the year, but basically Anthony Caponetto had one of the original line tigers. He did a joint pairing with Dave Prada, who had high contrast Queensland, which is what you were going. Which, on a side note, sorry to go off topic for a second, but I was kind of looking at the high con girl that I got from you. And I was like, okay, you know, it's cool, whatever. But as it's growing, definitely really surprised me in the looks department. I think you may be upset that you sold me that one when you see her.
I very well could, but you guys remember I held back a female from that clutch that pretty much looks like a 50-50 jungle, and mine's bigger than yours. So
true story.
I haven't even seen yours. I just know that for a fact.
Yeah, you can pretty much say that's a guarantee.
Yeah, so, it's a pretty big guarantee.
So Dave Prada had these high contrast Queensland coastals that he was calling. I think the story goes back that he doesn't know if they were coastal or jungle, but basically where they came from, they were called Queensland carpet, and because they were had the high contrast, that's where the name came from.
Yes, and he was selling them for like 40, 50 bucks, if you believe it. And then people started crossing them in with all this other stuff, and then they hit the tigers, and the high-con tigers popped out, and, of course, their price, like, ran up. So it's one of those things. They the high-con seem to bring a lot of good color to whatever morph they touch, because I have a holdback high-con jag, one of my females, and she's pretty. So...
It's good stuff. But the High Con Tiger kind of just popped up out of nowhere, and then that led to the Citrus Tiger, correct?
Yeah, so basically the story is that Anthony Caponetto did this joint pairing with Dave Prada, and they got these what they called high contrast tigers, high contrast Queensland tigers, or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So Will Bird picked up one of these, or he picked up a bunch of these high contrast Queensland tigers, and he had that, I guess, sitting on the shelf, and he ends up that he bought this one snake, which was he bought from Brian Taylor, BT, from Reptile Radio. I'm sure if you listen to Reptile Radio, you know who he is. He was the co-host there. But what he had is he bought, because I have jungles from him, and he brought his Vandenmeter line jungles, and these jungles came from Jane McPherson. And Jane McPherson had this other jungle project that she was working on that she called a reduced pattern or 50-50 jungle. And basically what it was is she said it was pure jungle. She sold it to BT. And then he posted it up on forums or stuff. And then everybody kind of beat him up and said that that wasn't a pure jungle. So then,
which happens more often than not.
Yeah. Well, especially back then, right?
Yes.
And basically, he only dealt with pure animals, so he ended up selling this animal to Will Bird.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not really sure what this animal is. Is it coastal? Is it jungle? Who knows what it is? But he bred these two together. And basically, he popped out these tigers, these striped carpets that he dubbed citrus tigers. The reason he called them citrus tigers is because if you look at the regular line of tigers and the high contrast tigers, they had more of this yellow to khaki color type, whereas the citrus tigers have this sort of orange tone to them. So.
Right.
You don't know, are they pure, are they not pure? Again, I go back to that same thing that as far as I'm concerned, it's, you know, like we said at the beginning.
One thing, right.
You know, it's you're looking at the same type of carpet python. But, you know, if you're into the coastal tiger and you don't want anything mixed in, then probably the citrus tiger is not for you. But they sure are nice, I can tell you that.
Right.
Let's see. What else?
Well, going on with tiger, there is the Carmel tiger, which is a brand new occurrence.
Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry. I had to shout myself in here. So,
okay. Well, sure. Yeah. You produced those this year. I want to say that I think you, Kerry King, and probably Paul Harris are the only people that have produced those, correct?
I think there's one other. I can't remember the name right now. They did a tiger jag to a caramel pairing this year.
Oh,
so they did get some residual.
Aaron Boulay. Boulay?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I think that's it. But I think I was the only one that did straight tiger to caramel. I think, unless Paul did it. But I don't know. I don't know if these were, if everybody else's were just cast off of tiger jag to caramel or whatever, but I'm excited to see those things pan out.
Yeah, I think the more and more that you selectively breed those, you're going to see that the you're going to see really, really nice. That's going to be a really nice carpet python.
Well, if she wasn't in shed, I'd take a picture and throw it up on the Merlea Python Facebook or the Merlea Radio Facebook, but. Yeah.
Okay. She's good gross. Job.
So, I didn't plan this.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So when we're talking about tigers, some people talk about all these different. You'll hear these different names of tigers. There's the, like I said, the ACQ tiger, the citrus tiger, the red tiger, the Russian tiger, and basically all those tigers are just different lines of tigers.
Right.
I personally think. and this is just my personal opinion, if you can't trace it back to the original line of Tiger, then it's a striped carpet to me.
Agreed.
You know, which Agreed. It looks like
if
a Tiger.
Yeah. It's very good. It has to be traced back because Tiger is as much a morph as it is also a line. It's Jason Balin's Tiger line. It's everything that you've done has to be traced back somehow to Jason Balin and his Tigers. Otherwise, you're right. It is exactly what you just said. It's a striped animal that resembles a tiger. Now, you can get around that kind of stuff, and Tiger is really easy to infuse new blood into. I mean, some morphs are, you have to worry about like inbreeding because that's the only way you can get the morphs you want. If you take a really nice striped animal and cross it with a Balin line tiger, every single striped baby that comes out, in my opinion, guess what, is a tiger. Why? Because you can trace it back to Jason Balin's tigers real easy. So, and it helps out real well. So you don't have to worry about too much inbreeding.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's kind of my approach. Now, or my thoughts, and you agree as well. So the other thought is that you have Mike Curtin did a pretty cool pairing a couple years back where he has this line of basically it's, it looks like a tiger, it's a striped coastal. But again, this just goes to show how the genetics of the tiger or striped carpet work. He bred two bandit animals together, and they come from a Russian zoo. And if you listen back to when Mike Curtin was on the show, he gives the whole description about, you know, the history on the animals. But basically, they were locality coastals. He traced them back to a Russian zoo, so Mike Curtin dubbed them the Russian tiger. So when you see the Russian tiger, that's what that is. Sort of, and they have a very, very red. They have a different red to them than the red tiger. Similar,
yes.
And I think if you were going to select, I mean, my plan with the Russian tiger that I have is to breed it into the red tiger from Jason, just to improve the striping and the color. I know Mike has some holdbacks that, I mean, they're simply knockouts. And I know Luke, he picked up an animal.
Luke took one out from underneath me.
Yes.
that was, one.
Swiped you up. So, and again, I should say this, that the tiger, we didn't hit on this, but the jag is a coastal morph, and so is the tiger. So that's the thinking behind that. Then you go into, so basically what happened, you have these two types of genes, and probably one of the most popular crosses that have been done is the tiger jag. And this is when I was exposed to Will Leary, and
yes.
He basically bred these tiger to a jag. I think it was with Jason Balin was involved in that as well. And then there was a thought to the super tiger jag, and I guess when they're referring to the super tiger jag, it's not really a super tiger,
no,
so
it's
to
not.
Speak. As much as it's a just very reduced pattern, the back is a solid stripe, and that's where that super comes from. I guess back when they named it, I would think that they were still thinking that the tiger was
something like that.
A codom morph. So that's
but
how
where
that
the was. Super tiger jag, in my opinion, gets blown out of the water is that you can make animals that can resemble super tiger jags in the reduced pattern with the right kind of pairing with your jags. I mean, you've seen my male Echo.
Yes.
And he's got barely any pattern on his sides, and it kind of goes solid towards his back. Same thing with a lot of babies I've produced this year from the same pairing, just by having a lesser tiger female bred to a jag male. It's, and my jag male, his father was Jason Balin's red tri-stripe bred to a jag. So the striping is on both sides. So when you mix the jag in there, it just reduces the pattern a lot. So you don't have to necessarily go to the super form. So I don't know. In my opinion, a lot of people overpaid for a tiger jag or a really nice-looking jag when they kind of got had by the super tiger jag stuff. So
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can see what you're saying with that. The I'm trying to find. I notice a difference between the Super Tiger Jag, and I posted up a picture which has more of a white type of color, and that came from. That's Will Leary's Jag that he has posted up there. And then if you take this, I'll post up a picture now of my Balin line Tiger Jag, which came from breeding a Tiger Jag to a Tiger Jag. And you can see how much yellow, the yellow is intensified as compared to the Super Tiger Jag, if the picture would upload. So
you can refresh any minute now; it'll be here.
Yeah, there you go. So you can just see the it more closely resembles the Jungle Jag from down below than it does Will Leary's Super Tiger Jag. But the Super Tiger Jag definitely is a cool animal. You know, I think eventually what they were, I think I heard Jason talking about it before, is that he was trying to basically get the saddles to become a stripe. So that it's almost a pinstripe going down the side.
Yeah, I understand that.
So. Which would be...
could happen. It would be very cool.
And I guess the next morph of the coastal complex or coastal carpets would be the caramel. Caramel is it's kind of new... Well, I guess it's not new in the States, but it's become more mainstream.
Fairly new. It's starting to actually be produced now, which still makes it kind of new to the, you know, the people who are less informed or, you know.
Yeah.
It's starting to become available. So, yeah, you're right. Still fairly new.
Right. So, with that, basically, with the caramels, you're basically hatching out these red babies. They start off as red. It's a codominant gene. If you breed a caramel to a normal coastal, you're going to get, in theory, much will be caramels and half will be normal coastals. If you breed a caramel to a caramel, you're going to get what is called a super caramel.
Which is the first super morph out of carpet python that was confirmed.
Yes.
Caramel. So that is actually a super form.
Yeah, and basically they emerge from the egg and they basically are shades of red or brown, and they have a reduced dark pigment. Mm-hmm. My experience has been so far of what I've seen with caramels is they're very variable. And I think that has to do with what people are breeding it to.
Right.
I think if you're not paying attention to what you're breeding your caramel to, you're going to not really get the best results. You want to look for an animal that basically is reduced black. If you have a coastal that's reduced black, you're going to get better results as far as breeding your caramel to it. As they become into their juvenile stage, they're basically those red and brown pigments, they're replaced with yellow pigments. What I've noticed is that they go through an ugly phase or awkward phase.
Hideous phase.
Yeah.
The ugly tween phases, yeah.
Teenage years or But they're really not the best during those times. You know, you got a caramel girl, and I guess Nick is probably, Nick Mutton from Inland Reptiles, he probably has the oldest caramels that are in the States, and I know he really worked with that gene, and he produced super caramels, and I know he has some regular caramels that even look like super caramels, so...
Yes.
You know, you just intensify. It sort of has like this, I want to say, like it glows almost. I don't know how to put it in.
It upgrades what caramel does is it enhances the back color of the animal. So if you breed your caramel to, say, a Michael Pennell Coastal, which is yellow, you're going to get some intense yellows. If you breed it to a browner one, you're going to get some nice brown. It's just kind of the way it goes. So that's why it's selective breeding. And, of course, Nick is, you know, Mr. Selective Breeding, so he got some really good-looking caramels out there. And, yeah, his super caramels look amazing. So,
yeah. Yeah, he definitely has some really, really nice caramels. So,
I can't wait for my super caramels this year.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how that gene works. Like I said, it's co-dominant and, you know, with the super form, which is the super caramel.
Mm-hmm.
Coastals. Also, they have Exanic. The Exanic, it's not really – I think people were kind of hesitant to work with the Exanic because I didn't think people were really overwhelmed with what they saw.
Right.
Me personally, I think it's a cool morph. I think that it's underrated in the potential of what it can do.
Agreed.
You know, when you start breeding it with the caramel, you know, you're really going to get that true ghost type of look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Exanic Jags really turned out to be something cool.
Yes, they did.
I think people were kind of surprised by that. And I think mm-hmm. that when that happened, people were kind of taken back, and all of a sudden there was a new found interest in the Exanic.
Yeah.
So basically you're looking at Exanic is a recessive gene. And mm-hmm. for those who are new to genetics, recessive basically means that it's het. You'll see that word het. If you breed an Exanic to a normal, you're going to get babies, and none of them are going to show the Exanic trait, but they're all going to be het for Exanic. And if you breed the het to het, you're going to get, what is it, 25%?
Mm-hmm.
25% Exanics, and the rest of the clutch would be, if you breed in het to het, that's what, 66% het Exanic?
Yep.
And basically what the way I look at those percentages, some people may be taken back by what does that mean. Possible het, mm-hmm. basically I look at it this way. If you breed a het Exanic to a normal, your babies are going to be possibly pos-het Exanic.
Yeah, each baby has the potential of being of carrying the gene. Problem is that we don't have what's called markers. Some snake morphs have a certain pattern or marker that shows that it carries the gene. Exanic does not. Of course, now it is granite. So
right.
When it comes to what I can remember, ball pythons, they have a marker. It's two white lines on their underbelly. If they're there, it's carrying the gene. So we don't have that. So basically you can take a gamble and buy the animal, and it's possibly a het, but you could always end up breeding it and it got nothing in it, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you, yeah, so basically the Exanic Jag, which was a mix of a codom and a recessive,
mm-hmm.
kind of took people by surprise, and they, you know, they really got into that. I'm going to leave the hypo to when we talk maybe about some of the stuff that's in Australia, because the hypo
right.
was bit different than what we're working with as far as caramel, so we'll touch on that in a bit. So that's pretty much the the ones that are proven out and known morphs in the coastal carpets is the Jag, the Tiger, the Caramel, and the Exanic. Then you would move on to the Jungle. So the Jungle carpet has probably starting to take the forefront, and as far as favorite morph now, is the Zebra.
Yeah.
And the Zebra kind of
is pretty much the Jungle Jag kind of deal. It's the Jungle's, it's what the Jaguars, the Coastals. It's something brand new with a co-dominant and all that other stuff. So, yeah, you're right.
All right. So the zebra is this whacked-out labyrinth type of pattern. It's the head pattern becomes all broken up from the skull and crossbones of the normal jungle carpet that you see. In the few years that the zebra has been available in the U.S., you have seen breeding it with the jungles that have been selectively bred in the States. You can definitely see results already of how nice these are going to be in the future. You breed a zebra to a zebra, and you're going to get you're going to get some of them, which is a patternless yellow snake, and that's the super zebra. So basically, if you breed a zebra to zebra, you're going to get 25% super zebras, and you're going to get 50% zebras, and you would get 25% normal jungles. As far as, let me see if I can find a picture of the zebra. You're working with the zebra, correct?
Yes. You just go pull Havoc off Rogue's Facebook page.
Post it up.
Let me see if I'll do it. I'll grab him. You keep talking.
So, yeah. There's really nothing, as opposed to some of the, like the Jag, there's nothing really that is genetically defective, I would say, about the zebra.
I'm not kind of stupid, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with him, though.
Yeah. let's see. So, yeah, so that's the zebra. And then there's, now hit on that as we go through a little more. So that's the jungles. I don't really think there's anything else as far as jungles go.
Aside from, like, Jag, but that's pretty much it. No, there's no real morph for the jungles.
No. I'm just going to put a picture of a super zebra up real quick so people can know what
you're
talking
about.
You know,
I go and I got my picture of my zebra, and you already threw one up there. The hell, dude.
We'll throw yours up there, too. Put it up.
Well, go ahead.
People would be happy that you actually took a picture.
Shut up,
you jerk. I know. I'm waiting to hear it.
I don't even want to hear it from you. You only took pictures like this week.
Okay, here's the zebra. The zebra was, I guess Paul Harris was the first one to work with the zebra. He's over there at UK Pythons, and pretty much once we start getting into combos and stuff like that, he's pretty much the go-to guy, and as well as Ollie over at Precision Reptiles. So you got Precision Reptiles, and then you got UK Pythons, and they're pretty much the two leaders in cutting-edge carpet python morphs. Of what's available. So that's the super zebra. I think that the intensity of the yellow was what I've seen so far in a super zebra is not that dramatic, but I think once you start selectively breeding, you're going to see that'll change. What I'm after is an albino super zebra. I think that's going to be badass. But that's for another topic. Then you get into the IJ morphs, and basically, as far as I know, there's two and a possible one. So you have you have the granite, and the granite kind of was right after. Maybe I'm wrong on this, Owen, but you might know better. The granite kind of came after the Jag. And the tiger, it was kind of the next, you know, cool thing that people were
after. The next thing that a lot of people jumped into. And unfortunately, being a recessive, it was overbred and inbred a lot. And that led to a lot of problems with the granites. Loss of eyes and hatchlings, they're just born with no eyes. weak immune systems, kind of things like that. So the granite market actually kind of tanked real quick. And a bunch of people who got into granite projects in the beginning kind of lost a lot and got out of it. But now with the successful outcrossing of the granite, as well as the line breeding of the Iron Jaya, you're starting to see a lot of very, very pretty granites out there. And it's kind of like the attention is being brought back, especially with granite jags. The granite jags that are out there Sean has been working with and a few other people have been working with to kind of make them pop up again. So, yeah.
Yeah, you have, as far as the granites, you have, I think Will Leary was the one that worked with them the most, and, you know, he got them imported. I don't remember the guy's original name, but Bard? Is that it, maybe? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they imported them from him. I believe that Luke works with a Het from that same guy that he had imported. But like you said, the genetics were kind of goofy because they were inbred. Once they started getting crossed out, then they noticed that, people noticed that they weren't goofy, I guess you would say.
They were being born with eyeballs, yeah.
Yeah, I think normal. I have a granite that comes from Will Leary, and
okay.
I want to say it's similar to the jag. It just looks off. I don't know how to explain it, but it just looks off. But I do have a granite from Nick. Kind of has the same thing, but when you have him crossed, they don't show it at all. So I think once you start outcrossing the granite, you're going to start to see that disappears. Viking Reptilia, Pete Downing, I think his name was, he started outcrossing granites a while back. And Luke Snell and Julie from GFX Morelia, she basically bought his main breeder male, which is Pool Boy, and is or actually it might be Grand Pool Boy, and beautiful, beautiful granite. Really, the yellow in this animal is almost insane, and that's the one that won Morph of the Year, basically. You know, second to none, that animal. So I think once you start breeding the granite into some of the more refined lines of IJ, you're going to see the same results of breeding the zebra into more refined lines of jungles. You're going to see better results.
Yeah.
And people will start to take notice again of that morph, I think. And basically, it's just a pure IJ, and it'll turn heads. I'll post up Julie's picture again of her granite, and you can see the difference between and what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, the colors have already started showing up, because if you compare my granite, which I trace back to Precision, and it's he's an adult male, he's got a lot of silver on him, he's very dark compared to that girl that Nick produced for you. Got a lot of yellows and other colors on her. It's the colors can definitely change through selective and line breeding. So
there you go. Now you'll see that's the granite from Julie, and that was the morph of the year in the U.S. Let me just put her name on there. So. That's a really nice
thing. It's important. Yeah, we have to do that.
Then you have the Exanic. The Exanic IJ. Which is a recessive as well. I don't know if we said that about the granite. Granite is recessive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a message from, yeah, he'll get it when he, okay, sorry. Yeah, the exanic is recessive. There were some thoughts of whether or not that was a pure IJ. From
right.
all, from what has been seen so far, it is believed that it is. Some people thought that it was mixed with the coastal way back, and that's where you got these. But I think from the size and the head and everything seems to lend
the way
it.
The blushing in the saddles, yeah. It,
towards IJ. So I'm excited because I will be getting a pair of Hets this year.
You son of a bitch!
From Paul.
God, I hate you.
That'll be pretty cool. Looking forward to that.
Dropped him off my list.
So that's pretty much it for the IJs. Then we will move
mm-hmm.
to, what else do we have that we have to hit on? Darwin's is the albino.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's it's the albino. Darwin is pretty much the winner takes all, so to speak, as far as carpet morphs. I think that when you have albino anything in the species of python, I think people start to pay attention. I think that was the dream snake for a lot of people for a long time in the carpet
mm-hmm.
python world. And now it's starting to become readily available, and people, you know, are starting to breed in it. There's some people that keep them pure, like Nick, and there's other people that have mixed them into different subspecies to make albino jags, albino zebras, albino, what else do we got? Albino caramels,
the
sun glow.
The sun glows.
Right.
Which eventually lead to the, you know, the ghosts and the moon glows and yada 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 yada. If we go by boa constrictor genetics, the albino was really the reason I think people pay attention to albino is because the albino is the gateway. If you have albino and you have other morphs, it's just going to lead to more and more and more and more until eventually we get carpet pythons that have the color and pattern of some of the craziest ass ball python morphs that I see out there, which I can only hope. So.
Yeah, I think it's definitely. I hear a lot of people say a lot of time, and I gotta be honest. I'm probably one of those too that albinos are not really my favorite because I like color and stuff. But I think.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've heard from everybody, that because of the variability and the different colors that show up in carpet pythons, that an albino carpet python is probably one of the best examples of an albino python there is.
Mm-hmm.
Not wait to see mine. So
I want to see them.
Yes. So hopefully we'll be in the next couple of weeks. So yeah.
When exactly is that shipment arriving, and where do you live again?
Yeah, I can't say.
Yeah, you really can. I would be there in a second. I'm sorry.
The diamonds, they don't really have any, per se, type of morphs. Nothing. There's the reduced pattern.
The reduced pattern, yeah. And then there was that starburst one that was out there for a while.
The stardust,
the hell came out of that one. That's the other thing. For every morph that we're talking about, We're automatically, I know some people are going to be like, you guys didn't talk about stripe. Stripe is just inherently out there. It's not really a morph per se. It's more of like a pattern. But also, for every morph that we're talking about, there are like three or four that came and went or were here but the next minute gone. It's because if you think about IJ, you've got the spider, the labyrinth, the platinum. These are all IJ morphs that I've seen just come and either nothing came out of them or they were never proven out or if it was just one funky-looking IJ at one point.
Yeah, I mean, basically the way I was going to approach that is that towards we get to the end, I was going to talk about some of the unproven type of...
I'm jumping ahead of you. I should really read the...
Read the outline?
Shut up. Shut up and continue, God damn it.
So as far as the diamonds, we got the reduced pattern diamond. Don't really know if that's genetic as of yet. and that'll probably, yeah, I really love that snake, and I hope to one day have one in my collection, hopefully. I really like the way it looks. Greg is, I want to say Josh Easter produced those, and I know that Greg Heim, I think his name is, he's always posting up pics, and I'm always forever drooling at his mail that he had. I think it's a mail. So hopefully they, and of course diamonds take longer to mature, so we're going to have to sit back and wait for that one and see exactly what comes of that.
Something I'm surprised you don't even have at all. You have your diamonds?
Say that again.
Do you have pure diamonds?
No, I don't. Not yet. No.
I'm surprised.
That's the one. I've kind of held off because of the, I think it's just a misconception, but of the different way of keeping, supposedly, that, you know.
Yeah, and the scariness of, like, I'm going to breed it, oh, it's dead. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally
understand that one.
So, but hopefully, I'm hoping that this year I'm going to pick up my first pair of diamonds and round out the carpet collection. As far as inlands go, we have the it's what would you call it? The silver peppered.
The silver
pattern.
The wonderfulness that is the inland. Yeah,
and that's down there in Australia, and that's a really cool snake. I really hope that you know, that's Darren Whitaker. He owns that that snake, and I hope
breed it.
Produces for him, and he bred it. He bred it this season, and I think she is
on
eggs.
Nice.
So we'll hope to see what that is. The genetics is not really known at this point.
Could be recessive. Could be a number of things.
Yeah, I think the clutch that it came from sort of suggests that it's a recessive, but you know, basically it's almost like a patternless striped. Ghost inland. I don't know how else to explain it. It's like a silver, silvery gray.
Look, it reminds me a lot of it. Like, imagine a reduced pattern granite.
Yeah.
That is very, very, but with like bluish silver color. That's what you got with this inland. So.
Yeah, I would agree. I'll try to smack up a pick there. I guess we are on pick overload, and it's not going up there, but...
Yeah, we've been... Facebook is, like, knock it off.
So, yeah, that's it. And then we have the Brettles, which I guess the big one there is the Stripe Brettles, which is recessive.
And the Hypo.
And the Hypo, which the Hypo, I want to say, is... I think it might work like the Tiger.
Right.
I know Nick's working with them, and
yeah. Well, normally hypo is recessive, correct?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So.
I think it falls into basically with the hypo, you're looking at it doesn't really have the normal dark outlines.
Right.
They're extremely reduced, and it's the overall red is much brighter. And it's not really sure, it's not really understood, but it seems to be either a codominant or it's a polygenic. Not really sure how that works. So I see it similar as the way that the tiger gene works from what I understand. Now they're down there in Australia, and I think, well, I know that Paul... UK Pythons, he's working with them, and so is Nick. And I think if you looked over on the thread that said, what are people producing for 2013, I think Nick is going to be producing the first clutch in the States. And I think he's also crossing them with the striped. So you're looking at striped hypos as well. So that's pretty cool. I know that there's also the reduced pattern that Strictly Morelia over on the forum that he has. He's produced them consistently over the past couple of years, and basically it just reduces the pattern. It just does that, and it sort of has like these dots that go down along the back of the animal instead of the normal pattern. And I still didn't get that to go up. I guess that's just a big picture. I don't know. So I'm going to change that. So yeah, I'll throw up the hypo brettle so you can see what we're talking about there. There we go. And that's Nick's hypo brettle. As far as I know, there's no genetics or genes with the... wow, that is a nice animal.
Isn't it crazy?
Wow.
I want it. I really want it. I thought my brettles were gorgeous, but it's just like, that's pretty.
You know, and that's kind of the cool thing to me, at least to me, about carpets, is there's so many different varieties to work with just within the subspecies. I mean, we didn't even touch on the mick, the crosses yet. And just the variety is just...
We could have like a four-hour show just talking about this crap. You know that, right?
Yeah.
We'd be here for a while.
Yeah, so... yeah, exactly. So that's basically the base morphs, and that's what you're looking at as far as base morphs go.
Right.
Then there's been some combos. Now, basically, when I look at a combo, I'm looking at a two-gene animal. And I guess for the most part, what everybody started doing is taking the jag and breeding it to the different morphs. So you have a zebra jag, you have a granite jag, you have a tiger jag, you have a caramel jag.
Super caramel jag.
Yep. So, and you would, I guess... Okay, let's start at the top. You have a zebra jag. Zebra jag bred to – is basically what that is you have a zebra bred to a jag. The zebra is a codominant, and so is the jag. Now, they're both on different alleles, so you can get zebra jags if you bred a zebra jag to a normal. So you would get zebra jags, you would get zebras, you would get jags, and you would get normals. Now I did a zebra jag to a red tiger clutch this past season, and I had all over the place. I got tiger jags. I got tigers. I got zebra jags. I got red zebras. I got normal zebras. Red jags.
red zebra jag?
Red zebra jags. Just all over the place as far as that goes. But basically, if you are looking at it from the pure standpoint, like we talked about before, a zebra jag would be a jungle coastal cross. Definitely a cool animal. Not as popular as I would have thought. I thought more people would have been into them and jumped on them a little bit faster. But from what I was seeing, I think you were right, Owen, that I think people are going to be producing them themselves. So they've kind of held off in picking them up. I mean, I guess that makes sense. Why would you buy one?
When you can just make it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think once you start mixing the better lines of jungles over here, you're going to see the zebra jag probably get people's attention because it does have a cool pattern. I really like the way it looks.
No, I agree. And the thing is that when you start mixing in the better looking jungles, you're going to start getting animals that people can't produce on their own. People are going to be like, well, it's awesome, but I can't make it because, you know, I don't have that animal that he has. So.
Yeah, exactly.
They have to do something with it.
Yeah. Then you have, I guess, the granite jag, which is basically the recessive granite morph mixed with the jag. So that's going to take you a little longer to produce. Whereas if you were making a zebra jag, you're going to probably get results relatively quick. You're going to get it within one season, and if you basically have a zebra jag, you're going to be able to breed that straight to a normal, and you're going to be able to produce, whether you breed it to a normal coastal or a normal jungle, you're going to be able to produce zebra jags. Now, granite jags is going to take a little longer in as far as that the granite is recessive. So you would have to breed a granite to a jag. And you're going to produce normals that are het granite, and you're going to produce jags that are het granite. You would then have to take that jag het granite and breed it to a granite, and then you would produce granite jags. Usually on that type of project, you're looking at a price of an animal staying relatively high for a little bit long amount of time. So... either. I don't see many people working with them, maybe, as I thought that you would see. I don't know if it's some of the other genes have taken the forefront, but again, I think once you start breeding like that granite line, the Viking line granites into a granite jag, you're going to have some smoking results, absolutely, without a doubt, and people will start to... take notice to that again.
Right.
Trying to see if I can find a granite jag picture. Nope. You also have, what else? The granite zebra, which was produced, and basically same thing. Instead of the jag, we'll replace it with the zebra, same length of time. Granite zebra, to me, I guess the best way that I can explain it, it kind of reminds me of a baby alligator, very dark type of look. The colors,
left legs though.
Yeah, the colors on the granite zebra are very similar to that baby alligator look, at least to me. And I think
the
cool
supers of those are freaking awesome looking.
That's where, yeah, you're exactly right. You have the super form of that, which is just pretty much mind-blowing as far as...
looks like a Mac.
Yep. Except carpet.
It's a carpet python that looks like a Mac. Therefore, where you can get a Mac for $75, you have to pay $10,000 to get the other one. So.
Good point. But still...
shut up. That's what you, good point. Now shut up. So,
and then you have the Exantic Jag, which we hit on earlier. The Carmel Tiger. You have, which is also nice. Basically, if you go over to UK Pythons, you'll be able to see any of the ones that we're talking
everything,
about at this point. So if you just go over there, you can definitely scroll through as we're talking, and you can see all the different crosses that we're talking about. So super granite zebra, I'm putting jag.
super granite zebra jag thingy. We're not there yet. Almost.
Yeah, it's got a yellow head and a... I don't know what you would call
military. Body,
I don't know, camo type of look to it. It's definitely.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, there it is. Super granite. I love the head. It's got the yellow head of the super zebra and the Maclots looking pixelated body. That's a cool one. So, looking forward to making one of those in the near future. I wonder if that turned
one,
out...
make
what,
several.
Yeah, what they thought that it would look like, what Paul thought it would look like.
I don't think you think... I don't, like, if you're in Paul's position, do you even think anymore? Just go, well, let's see.
I really stopped for trying to predict what the hell is going to come out of the egg, because, I mean, some crazy shit has come out of those eggs.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that is a granite. That's a super zebra granite. Am I saying that right?
Yes, super zebra granite.
Yeah, super zebra granite. And that's with little to no line breeding done on the side of the granite. Or the zebra. So imagine top, really, really top shelf zebra bred to really, really top shelf granites. What the hell is that thing going to look like? Did I lose you?
No. Here I am.
Oh, I'm like, yeah. Eric, are you alive? Did I do too much? Did I, are you sitting there going, oh my God?
You said too much, I'm out.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I started comparing line bred morphs, and you're like, oh.
Yeah. but you're absolutely right.
Book.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The once you start, I can only
speculate.
I really think that the car. It's actually funny. I was listening to one of, I think it's called Herp Herp Hooray, and they had a. it's another podcast type of show. It's really good podcast.
God, why aren't we named that? That's hilarious. What the hell are we doing with Morelia Python Radio? Damn it.
Yeah. So yeah, check it out. Go over there, listen to that guy, and he has some pretty cool shows. And anyway, they had a breeder on that was he's kind of an all around breeder, and it was kind of interesting that the guy was talking to him. And again, they basically focus on ball pythons on the show, and he was saying that he thinks that he sees the market as far as carpet pythons goes. Starting to take off with carpets and bloods, because when you go to a show and you're looking at 90% all ball pythons, pretty much everybody has the same type of animal. So you have a breeder who's professional, and you know he's doing this for a living, and he's making I don't even know, some crazy ball python combo. And then you have somebody that's sort of a basement breeder, does it as a hobby, and he's pretty much producing the same type of morph. So, you got to wonder, everybody says that market's going to go on forever, and I'm sure it will, but, to a certain, to this guy at least, he's saying that he sees an interest being piqued with the carpets and the blood pythons in particular, because
nice.
The morphs that are happening within those two species are starting to get people's attention. I think that the advantage that the blood pythons have is that it's much easier to import that new blood, so to speak. With the carpets, we don't have that same type of freedom, I guess. And I think that the more and more that we selectively breed and produce better examples of these carpet pythons and they grow into adulthood, I think the more and more that people are going to be checking out and looking and really taking notice to how cool that they are, so which leads us to I guess these new combos and new basically how I look at the next ones that I'm going to talk about, they're going to be the designer stuff. That's kind of where I'm at. That's kind of where somebody like Paul Harris, he does, and over Precision, Dale Huffman's kind of in the same boat, Kerry King, Psychotic Exotics, he's kind of in the same boat. These really cutting edge type of carpet morphs that are being combined together. So first up, you got the Caramel Zebra, which is definitely one of my favorites. I think I was the first person in the U.S., at least from what Nick tells me, to import them in. And my pair is almost its size. I know my male will probably breed this year. I don't know about the female, so I'm probably not going to breed her because I don't want nothing to happen to her, so I'll probably wait until next year. But I'm going to breed her with a caramel. Breed him with a caramel female that I have. So I would produce super caramel zebras, which have been produced.
Zebras.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll post a pickup of the super caramel zebra in a second so you can see what I'm talking about. So here you go, super caramel zebra, and this was produced by Paul Harris, UK Python.
None other than.
And basically, the caramel zebra is kind of a it almost looks, it's pixelated type of look, and it definitely has a cool look to it once it's an adult. I really like them.
Right.
I think they're cool. I think they'll start to catch on once people, you know, that's the super form of it.
It is definitely very pretty, and it looks, and it's got the same coloration that like a caramel jag has, but the pattern is much different. It's a very cool animal, and you'll be making these this year, correct?
Yes, hopefully.
Oh.
My awesome. Caramel zebra male will go to a female caramel, and I'll be able to produce some super caramel zebras. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. See, you don't even know. You don't even know what the hell you're making.
Start to get tongue-tied after a minute. I'm trying to find just a straight caramel zebra so you can see what that looks like. This
don't
is.
You have massive pictures of your caramel zebras? Didn't you take like a whole bunch?
Yep.
This week? Yeah. Okay. Not, someone here is overachieving.
Yeah, right. Here's my caramel zebra male. I'll post him up. So you can see that.
There it is.
It's also
the contrast is much different if you look at them side by side.
Yeah. So you can see what that super gene does, the super caramel does to that kind of gene. And that's a baby in mine. That's when mine was kind of an adult. So.
Gotcha.
Let's see. Then the first triple codon morph of the carpet complex was produced by Paul Harris, and that is the caramel zebra jag. So basically that is you're mixing
something crazy.
I guess you could go about that a couple different ways. You could take a zebra jag and breed it to a caramel, and you'd produce caramel zebra jags. You could mix a caramel zebra and breed it to a jag and produce caramel zebra jags. Either way, you're going to produce caramel zebra jags. You would also produce caramels. You'd produce zebras. You'd produce jags. And then you would produce what we're going to just call siblings, I guess. Is that how
right. Normals. Blackhead food.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
I just insulted half of our listeners. Sorry, guys. So.
It's true.
Well, you know, good luck stopping me from saying things.
Yeah. Hasn't worked. you have, basically you're looking at a triple codon, it definitely is a beautiful, beautiful animal. I'm trying to find if I see a really good picture of one. Like I said, you can see any of these over on any of the various. Here's a super caramel jag. No, super
I caramel. I do love caramel jags.
Super caramel zebra jag. Well, here's a super caramel zebra jag.
Oh my God, it's insane. There it is.
Yeah.
See, and that you lose, like, down below you have the super caramel zebra, and then you have the super caramel zebra jag.
Yeah.
You lose a lot of the black that is appearing in the super caramel zebra. So, but again, that's a hatchling, so you don't really know what that thing's going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't know how that's going.
None of those colors are going to be, I imagine the saddles or whatever's left of the pattern it will be like the Super Caramel Zebra, but I have no idea what the base color would look like or how much black is going to show up. It looks like nothing's going to show up in the tail section.
Yeah. And I should say, when just on a side note, when you do breed anything that we're saying with the name Super on it, if you breed that to a normal, you're going to get all, let's say, Super Caramel. So you're breeding a Super Caramel.
Yeah.
To a normal, you're going to get all caramels and some super caramels.
Yes.
Yes. So that's the advantage if you're breeding and you're doing a breeding project to where you want to get to where you have the super caramels, everything that you have is going to be caramels. So you would make caramel zebras, caramels, super caramel jags, caramel jags, what else? Super caramel zebras. You know, that animal right there, especially if it's a boy, you're talking about some powerhouse genetics right there in a super caramel zebra jag. So that's that. Let's see, what other ones did we want to hit on? First produced, I want to say it was last year, was the albino zebra, which is basically recessive and the Kodam zebra. And I really like this. I think this is a cool animal. And I think once you mix it with albino zebra to albino zebra and make the super albino zebra, I'm thinking you're going to have an all white snake. Not all white, I'm sorry, all orange snake.
Yeah.
I think we'll have that.
It'll be very, very, very cool, I think.
which will be badass. And then you have
Jags.
There's the albino zebra. You have caramel jags, super caramel jags have been produced. You have the caramel tiger that we talked about.
I'm going to work on that one, I promise.
Yeah. let's see what else has been just new this past year, 2011, that was produced. You had the Caramel Granite, which
yes.
was produced by Ali at Precision.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really, really cool animal. He also produced the Exantic Zebra.
Yes.
That is also
awesome.
Really cool. Cool animal.
Uh-huh. Which is going to lead to eventually the Exantic Super Zebra, which I'm thinking is going to be an all silvery snake.
Yeah, probably similar.
I'm like, that's going to be cool.
Similar to the inland morph, probably.
Mm-hmm. But patternless.
Yeah.
The thing is that the Exantic, if you look at the Exantic that you got in, the other thing is they used coastal Exantic, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, imagine that with the IJ Exantic instead. The IJ Exantic, I think, is brighter than the coastal Exantic. So if you work the IJs in there instead of the coastals, you could get, like, these really bright silvery blue snakes, which would be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But that's your department. I'm no longer going to speak about this. And we're going to pretend this conversation never happened.
Yeah, right.
Now do it so I can look at it. So.
Pick real quick of... if I can get it to come up. Here you go.
And then
here's
the Xanax Zebra Jag, too.
Yep.
Yep, these are great-looking Xanax Jags, so.
Yeah, that's another one that's on the list. Now, this is an Xanax Zebra Jag. And you can see that's just really cool animal. And what else was produced this year? The Super Caramel Super was produced.
Yeah.
It's
almost like the last one.
Basically, a patternless. If you look at the red on the caramel, I don't know what it looks like now, but that was produced by Paul at UK Pythons. And
yep.
I'm trying to find the picture of that. Do, 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 do. Carmel Tiger Jag was another one that was produced.
Really?
You never saw Carmel Tiger?
Of course I have, but that was the first one done this year.
I don't know if that was. I'm not
sure. I have a picture of the breeding of the Super Zebra to the Super Carmel. So if you squint really well, you could maybe figure out what they're going to look like.
I do not have a picture of the Super Carmel Super Zebra. But I do have a picture. I got this from Paul's site. This is,
yeah.
We were talking about the Super Carmel Zebra Jag being a little bit older.
Yes. I'm listening.
Here's a picture of how it colored up a little bit. So you can see what it looked like. And then Ollie produced the first
Sun Glow.
Carbon.
Why don't we have any updated pictures of that thing?
Yeah, exactly. Basically, that's a caramel and albino.
Which caramel acts like a hypo.
What is the moon glow? What is that exactly?
If we're going to go by the strictness of that you have with – if we're going to go by boa genetics, and what you need to get all the really funky things in boa genetics is you need exanic, albino, and hypo. So having the caramel that acts like a hypo, we should be okay. That gets us the sun glows. And the sun glow, you know what makes a snow is an exanic cross with an albino.
Right, right.
So if I remember correctly, but I'm going to pull it up right now just because I don't want to sound like an idiot. I think it is. Let me see, moon glow. I think it's a sun glow crossed with an exanic that brings about.
So basically, you have a caramel or a hypo, albino,
yeah.
And a exanic. So
yeah.
If you had a albino and exanic, you would be looking at a snow.
Something like that.
And then you would produce, you would breed that with a caramel and produce what would be caramel snows, a.k.a. moon glow, is what they call that in boa genetics.
I think so.
Okay.
Again, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure the exanic might play a more sufficient role, like maybe even the snow has to play a role in making the moon glow. I'm truly trying to figure this out. You had to breed a hypo. You had to breed a hypo het snow to a hypo het snow, or you had to breed a hypo het snow to a double het snow, or you had to breed a hypo het snow to a snow, or you had to breed a hypo het snow to a ghost het snow.
Okay. So basically, the three genes that are at play there are exanic, hypo, and albino.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's the combination of that. Now, also, ghost comes into play there as well. And ghost, I know, is exanic and hypo. So,
right.
Yeah.
Now, the snow hasn't been produced yet, as far as I know.
No, but all the pieces are in play.
I actually have a shot at producing het this season.
The
so you're going to
collective stated breath of the United States as everyone gasps at what Eric just said.
So I'm sure Paul and Ollie and a few other people are probably same boat, I would imagine.
I would too, even if they don't want to talk about it.
Sure. And the thinking is when you hear snow, I remember when I first got into carpets, I was listening to Reptile Radio and Will Bird was talking about the snow carpet, and that was sort of like the holy grail, so to speak, of carpet pythons. And the thinking is that this is going to be an all-white carpet python. But if you look at some of the snow versions of ball pythons, it's not completely all-white. It has some pattern in it, but even if we are close to that all white carpet. I think that the what I'd like to see as far as carpets go, I'd like to see us hit on some kind of Lucy at some point. I think it is possible. I think it's just not going to be from the Jag. I think no. probably somewhere in Australia. You know, I always talk about the Dinker projects, and I think down in Australia that they'll be working on those type of projects, and probably a lot of people are. We don't even know about it, and I think eventually, yeah. somehow, some way, they'll hit on that. Because you look at ball pythons, and you can get to an all-white ball python in so many different ways.
Three different ways, I think, with the Mojave.
But you got Mojaves, you got Lessers, you got Butters,
yeah,
you got, you
exactly.
know, all these.
They're all there. It's
right.
like corn snakes, goddammit.
Right, exactly.
But what I've seen with snows is that snows have pattern. It's just the pattern is pinkish while the base color is white. And that's what you look at with snows. If you're going by, like, snow boa constrictor, when I'm looking at genetics most of the time with carpet python, they fit in really close with the genetics of boa constrictor or reticulated python. Ball python genetics are so far out there now, it's crazy. It's really hard to kind of wheel them back in to get it simplified enough to compare with carpet python. So.
Yeah, well, for me, I think I don't know. Me personally, I've been following ball python genetics for a while because, like I said, I learn a lot from listening to these other guys and how it plays together with the different genetics. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing that I would recommend to people that want to get into genetics. If you follow, you know, different ball python breeders and see what they're breeding and what, I think to me personally, from what I've seen with all pythons, I think they pretty much, I mean, you look at, I think it's kind of the same gene at play in a different snake, because just like we talked about at the beginning of the show, you have a Jag and you have a spider. You know what the Jag is to the carpet complex, the spider is to the ball pythons, and you breed it, you get the same results. It's got the same type of it's the same type of mutation. You know, it's a pattern mutation and a color mutation, and I just think that that there's a lot of similarities between the two, or between all the pythons and their genetics. What I would right. love to absolutely see, and I think would just knock carpet pythons into a whole new world, is a piebald carpet.
Dear God, yes.
Piebald carpet would be the would be it. I think that would.
And these are all
cake.
And the last two morphs, the Lucy and the piebald, what you just mentioned, I mean, these are morphs that could, honest to God, crop up in a clutch anywhere in the world by anybody who's breeding anything. Those kind of morphs just freaking happen. So,
yeah,
everyone
and,
try.
Yeah, and we didn't even hit on any of the stuff that's down in Australia. You know, maybe on another episode, maybe we'll get Damien or somebody from Australia to come on and talk about all the cool
yeah.
stuff they have all down there. But just you know, our buddy Wayne Larks, he has the Hypo Xanax, he has the Hypo Brettles, there's the Ghost, there's the Super Ghost, there's the Tribal Carpet, you know, who knows what all these different...
The Melanistics down there, too.
Yeah, that he, and
which
that is the... Yeah, that's from the Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got some of the unprovens that are still out there. You got the Labyrinth IJ that you talked about. There's
yep.
the Tiger IJ. Don't forget
yes.
about that.
I forgot. I almost forgot about that.
Yep. There's the Striped Inland.
Right.
There's the Ocelot Jag, which is proved out, but... genetics is not 100% on what's going on with that. So I think the more and more that I know that Mo works with
Mike,
that, I have that. Paul Harris has that, but probably
Mike Curtin's the big guy with that one.
He's the big breeder with that, and it's Ocelot Jag. And apparently, that from what I understand about that is that you need the jungle. You can't have an ocelot jungle. You need the Jag and the jungle to mix together to produce that ocelot Jag.
Right.
some of the selectively bred ones that you were talking about, you got Ivory Jungles, which is just basically a black and white jungle. And what has been done is you've selectively bred the yellow out of the jungle. You got Striped Jungles, which you see a lot of them in the Australia, not so much here. There's a few people that work with those, and it's similar genetics to the tiger. At least that's what I believe. And
yeah,
then
so
have
too.
The red coastal.
Okay, right.
You've listened back to some of our shows. You can hear Luke or Jason talk about Madam Blueberry line. Also,
mm-hmm.
you, Owen, too. The Madam Blueberry line coastal,
yep.
which seems to throw these reds. Luke has consistently produced reds with that female from different sires, and it seems to be—it's definitely genetic. But maybe the thinking is that I think it works kind of like the tiger gene does as well. So that's some of the ones that are selectively
mm-hmm.
bred. I guess that's in a nutshell. That's pretty much. The carpet pythons, but just so as long as you have a basic understanding of the base morphs, how it works genetically, you know, hopefully you can go back and look at the Facebook page and you can see the different pictures. Some websites I would recommend to check out, definitely go check out ukpythons.com, check out precisionreptiles.com, you can check out inlandreptiles.com. You have, who else am I forgetting? East Coast Serpents, Ethan Balins. You can check out Anthony Caponetto's, I think his is acreptiles.com.
Yep.
You have Mo and her Jungle Jags at mojoreptiles.com. Who else? Who else are we forgetting?
You have Rogue Reptiles and Rogue Dash Reptiles. You have E.B. Morelia.
Yeah, can't forget those.
Why not? Yeah.
Can't forget those.
Definitely want to check out Wayne down in Australia and Damien.
Yep. Yeah, they can. They definitely have some cool Morelia stuff going on. Wayne probably dabbles a little more in the crosses and stuff from what I've seen.
Yep.
And
definitely MoreliaPythons.com because that's where everything is going to be, and you can definitely. That's where I heard about. A lot of these morphs for the first time is if you put up pictures of these new morphs. And, of course, there were always people like Eric that's like, oh, you finally posted pictures of that. And I'm like, what? I've just heard about the hell is this? Yeah, it's, yeah, so.
Yeah, so another thing if you're, you know, you're really into the carpet pythons and trying to figure out the morphs and all the different stuff that's going on, definitely pick up the complete carpet python.
Yeah.
You know, that's definitely a must-have as far as understanding carpets. And I think that I hope that people have a better understanding of some of the different morphs and some of the different things that are available. Everything that we've talked about on the show is either available in the States or going to be in the near future. So, yeah. So hopefully that gives people a better understanding of carpet python morphs. So, you know, that's my favorite topic to talk about. So I know we're in OT now.
You're recording. Yeah.
We are being recorded now as we speak, and the show is now over. So, like I said, hopefully people got something out of it. What I'm going to be doing, a new thing on our website now that we have the banner up, is I'm going to be doing a little thing over there called NPR Notes. And basically, I'm just going to jot down some of the highlights from the show that you could check out. You know, just like maybe a few facts, you know, that we thought was cool or... you know, something like that. And you can check that over on our website. That's www.moreliapythonradio.com.
And I will submit the doodles that I make while you're talking.
They he might be artwork one day that could be.
yeah, you have a whole gallery with this crap.
Yeah.
But
exactly. So, yeah, go check out, like you said, you can see any of the snakes that we just talked about over in the morph section of MoreliaPythons.com. That's
yep.
the pretty much the best carpet python forum in the world, hands down, the best. Go over there, become a member. I see more and more people signing up over there, and it makes me happy. It makes me feel all warm inside.
We're doing our job.
More people are getting into carpet pythons and checking out that website and becoming a member. Let's see, what else? Trying to think, shout-outs. We have, I said, check out MoreliaPythonRadio.com. Next week we have Ron Rundu from Insert Works. This is
the
third time that we've tried
Let's
to have
Let's try this one again.
We had him on before, something happened, then the show got moved to a different day, and then Hurricane Sandy came. So we're going to try one more time and try to get it going. Don't forget, be listening for the episode with our good buddy Ari Flagel. He's going to be giving his in-depth discussion about what happened in Indonesia and everything that, you know, was exciting and is breaking news that is pretty exciting, I think, as well.
Yeah, very.
So, yeah, if you have any guests that you want to hear or if you have any questions or comments, you can send all that to info@MoreliaPythonRadio.com. You can check out Carpet Fest. The
yes.
Carpet Fest, we have two. It looks like, I got to be honest with you, Owen, I'm feeling a little jealous of the Northwest Carpet Fest. That's
yeah.
on June 8th, but it looks like they have some heavy hitters headed out there.
Yeah, what the hell?
They have Nick
us.
Justin Zoolander. They have Terry Phillip. Let's see, who else have they got going out there? I think Casey Lazek is headed out there. I mean, that's pretty much the West Coast is representing for sure, but if you're on the West Coast, go over there, check out. I'm going to be putting up all the info on Carpet Fest. It's on June 8th, Saturday, June 8th, and that's on the West Coast. And on the East Coast, our date is what, May? I want to say May 13th, maybe.
19th. Why don't we know this? Oh my God!
I know you should, Owen.
Yeah, shut your mouth! God damn it.
May 18th. You're correct. May
18th. See,
so ours is. If you're on the West Coast, go over there and get in touch with Heather. I'm sorry. Northwest.
Oh
Heather.
Lord, it's over now.
On the forum, I'm going to have all her contact info up there tonight. And if you are on the East Coast, you can go to the East Coast Carpet Fest, Northeast Coast Carpet Fest. And don't think that we don't have heavy hitters over here either, because we have
right.
Balin. Let's see, who else
yep.
we have?
We're going to get Ben. They're going to have somebody from we'll drag Ben, yeah.
Yeah, we had some Chondro guys there, which was pretty
yeah.
cool. And of course we
have
I mean, come on. Yeah, and up too. But
Jesus Christ, she's the host of Morelia Python Radio. Do they have a host of Morelia Python Radio? No, they don't, because we have both. And we have Howard. And
yeah.
Howard's crazy.
Yeah.
So,
check that out. You can get all info and updates, everything at carpetfest.com. Check out our Facebook page. You can download on iTunes. All that can be seen all through MoreliaPythonRadio.com, and it'll also lead you to EB Morelia and Rogue Reptiles. EB Morelia being my website for my personal website and Rogue Reptiles being Owen's personal website. And what am I forgetting? I'm forgetting something. I can't remember now.
Dilbert.
I can't. I usually I have it written down, and I don't have it written down tonight, so
Dilbert.
I apologize.
Shout out. I would like to give a shout out to Andrew Paris, who is making me a banner for MoreliaPythons.com. So Rogue Reptiles will be represented. So it'll be cool. Yeah. Definitely very cool. I haven't even seen it yet, but
I can't forget about Andrew. Like I said, he did a great job on the banner. So if you're looking for a banner to be done for your site or for your Facebook page or anything of the sort, definitely go over and check him out. You can get in contact with him on Facebook at Paris Reptiles is his page over there, or Andrew Paris, either way. He'll do a good job for you. Definitely represent. I think that's all I got. You have, a show coming up soon or what?
December 1st is the next show for Rogue Reptiles, and we're going to be bulking up, bringing some babies with us, and we'll see what else we got. Kind of running a little low here. Hopefully we'll get some eggs and replenish.
So. That's where E.B. Morelia comes in. When you run low.
Exactly. You are my seed filler.
Yeah, so you might actually see both me and Owen at the at that show.
Bring your East Coast Carpet Fest T-shirts, and we'll sign them.
Yeah, there you go.
Autographs for all.
Yeah,
make it seem important.
How about this? If you come up to the table and mention that you listen to the show, we'll give you one for free. How about that?
A shirt or a snake? Hold on now. What am I agreeing to?
No. A shirt. I'll give you...
I totally agree now. Okay. Oh, my God. What?
Yeah. We'll give away all of Owen's snakes for free.
Jesus Christ.
Now, if you come up to the table, if you can somehow track down Owen's table, and you either come up to Owen, or if I'm there myself, and you mention that you listen to the show and you're a huge fan, and you just pitter-patter... Your heart goes pitter-patter when you hear Owen talk. You get a free shirt.
Free shirt. So now you have to do it.
Yeah. There you go. I don't have anything else.
That'll be it. So I guess we'll catch everybody next week for some more Morelia Python Radio. Thank you, everybody. Good night.